Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day, to draw near to God in these challenging times, to walk in His love, to abide in His love. And today we get two great readings the Church gives us, talking about the new life in the Holy Spirit, really, and how the Christian life is, by definition, an empowered life. To become a Christian means to be baptized into Christ, which means being baptized into His Spirit. So in the first reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, St. Paul says this. He said, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith may rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." Let me read that last sentence again. "So that your faith may rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." And here Paul's in Corinth, and he's preaching to a Greek community that, you know, that has a whole history of great Greek philosophy and public speakers and those who could make very eloquent arguments and persuade people. And Paul wanted to communicate to them the truth about how the good news of God, or the mystery of God in this case, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery of God's plan that was hidden for ages but is now revealed to us. Paul says that this fullness of time, he said that the gospel goes forward in the power of God. It doesn't primarily go forward with great, as he put here, sublimity, with eloquence and words of wisdom. That's not where the power lies. And then Paul explains to them the condition he was in, or how he described his internal experience as he came forward to preach the gospel, where he knew he would experience resistance and difficulty, but also that he had to trust God, because the whole mission and ministry of the proclamation of the gospel depended pretty much totally in terms of the transformation in the hearer, the capacity of people to hear the message and to be transformed and changed by it, to be convicted by it. Paul came forward, he said, in weakness and fear and with much trembling. Probably trembling because he knew the treasure that he was bearing. He was bearing the message, the eternal message that, again, was hidden for ages, God's great mystery, the revelation, the full revelation of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. But he was also coming as a man, weak, sinful, broken human being, though very gifted and very blessed by God. He knew his own weakness and his own limitation, and that he's powerless on his own strength to be able to persuade men, but also he knew he was going to experience resistance. But he was entrusting himself to God, and he really believed in the power of the message itself. And why did the message have power? One, because it's true. Its truth has power, but it's really the work and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that makes that truth come alive in a human heart. You go back to the scene in the Gospels where Jesus asks the apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And they say, well, some say John the Baptist, or you know, some say Elijah, some say a prophet. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And then Peter makes his confession, "Thou art the Christ," that is the anointed of God. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus smiles. Jesus is filled with joy, because he knows that Peter didn't come to that confession on his own strength. And Jesus told him, he said, you know, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed are you, son of John, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get there by your own resource to this confession, but my heavenly Father gave it to you. My heavenly Father gave you the grace to understand and to grasp who I am." And so here's Peter. There's a lot to, in that story itself, in terms of Peter being the first to make that confession. But the bottom line is it's a work of God. And Jesus trusted the power, the work of the Holy Spirit that was happening. And really standing behind, you could say, empowering the words of Jesus, anointing the words so that people could see, hear them and understand them. And so the persuasion and the came from a demonstration of a work of God. He said the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So this is how the gospel goes forth. It's a crucial thing to understand. And for all of us, every one of us have been baptized into Christ. The church tells us again and again, we're all called to communicate the gospel to people that the Lord brings into our lives whenever we can, whenever it seems right, whatever circle of sphere of responsibility or network that we're a part of. The Lord wants us to walk with the knowledge that He's with us in the Spirit, and He desires to extend the witness of the kingdom, the reality of the presence of the kingdom, and the offer of salvation through how we live. And also He wants to prompt us in the Spirit to be able to share the message. And I think sometimes we don't do it because we're afraid, for a variety of reasons. You know, we're afraid to share the gospel. We don't know how people will respond. Well, guess what? Here's Paul. He went forward in weakness, fear, and trembling, much trembling, he said. So we can relate to that, every single one of us. The idea of communicating the message of Christ to other people, we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid it may not make a difference. We're afraid we may not be able to answer difficult questions. And just as Paul is, we're meant to be. That is what Paul knew. He was in a circumstance, an environment, every place he went, that he was engaging in a mission that was going to be resisted. So each time he went, he probably had to summon the grace and the, you know, summon the courage to just surrender, to believe in the Lord's command, and to believe that the Lord was going to be with him each step of the way. And then he had to trust the power of the word. And it's really helpful to say, we can't make truth triumph, friends. We're just witness to the truth of God's great mystery, of God's love, of His offer of salvation to every human heart. Every person stands in need of it, whether they see it or understand it. But we have to understand that this Holy Spirit is there to help us. And the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate the power of that word and that message. So we just simply entrust to the Lord and to the Spirit that portion of their responsibility. And he said, it's important that the faith rest on the Holy Spirit in power. He said, so that our faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. So I'm not a follower of Jesus because a persuasive priest, you know, an eloquent priest or an eloquent lay person or somebody impressive captivated me. Now, that could be part of the road, the travel, but ultimately I believe the message because the power of God has given me the grace to be able to see the truth in it and to make a good confession and to believe that Christ is Lord. I've seen the power of God in my own life, experienced the power of God in my own life, confirming what was proclaimed. And I'm not in this because of any particular personality or any particular leader. I'm here because of the reality, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit giving me faith, conviction, and hope and confidence in God that His message is true. So that's the first reading today. The second reading, it relates very much to it. It's really the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's the story from Luke's gospel of the Lord coming forth. His ministry really begins the day that John baptizes him in the Jordan to fulfill the law. And John baptizes him. Jesus comes forward. There's a revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity present there. The Holy Spirit is present in the form of a dove. And the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. You know, listen to him." From that moment of the declaration of the beginning of his ministry and the Father saying, "This is my Son," Jesus goes to the desert. The Holy Spirit that's upon Jesus leads him into the desert, Scripture says. And then he goes right at the enemy of the human race who has enslaved the human race, and he declares war, basically. The enemy comes to try to tempt him just as he tries to tempt each and every one of us. Jesus stood against him. This was not the first Adam. This is the second Adam. This is God's Son now, who began in that moment to declare his kingship and lordship over the enemy and over all of God's creation. From that time in the desert, he goes back to the synagogue in Nazareth, and he takes up the Isaiah scroll, the reading, the Torah portion for the day. And it's the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, what the Messiah would be like. And so Jesus reads it, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, He handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him, and he said, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus went to his home synagogue, basically, and he went to the synagogue in Nazareth, and he read the reading of Isaiah, and he declared that anticipation that for centuries was in the heart of the people of Israel was fulfilled in Christ himself. And the Messiah was here. Messiah means what? It means anointed. It means one filled with the Spirit. And Jesus is the one that's filled with the Spirit to bring the glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives and give sight to the blind, and to lead humanity to freedom from death to life, right? From the bondage of sin to freedom, to the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And he said the acceptable time, the Jubilee year, there's so much in this passage, could talk all week about it, that it's come in the person of Jesus. Time has reached its fulfillment. God's plan now is going to be revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And you see, it really is a Trinitarian mission that Jesus is caught up in. And it's important for us to see and understand as well. Jesus became one of us so we could become like him. Now we who are alienated from Christ are called in the gospel, in the mystery, to come and to receive repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we enter the waters of baptism, and in baptism we're put to death. And this same reality, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is given to us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is given to us in baptism, and we're born again. And we come out of the waters of baptism, just like Jesus came out of the waters of the Jordan. We come out of the waters of baptism having passed from death to life. And Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit, and then he commissions us, by virtue of our baptism and our confirmation, to go forward in the power of that Holy Spirit to make known the message that the Messiah has come, that salvation is being offered. We go forward like St. Paul, in fear and trembling, knowing that we've been called by God. And Paul would say later, woe to me, the same Corinthian community, he'd say, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Necessity has been laid upon me, and necessity has been laid on each and every one of us. Friends, we're living at a time of great shaking of the nations, a real disturbance, you'd say. There's a great degree of stress and fear. There's political stress. There's economic stress. There's social stress. There's the oppression of the uncertainty around the COVID virus, and everything still lingers. And people are walking with great burdens. People are walking, many of them, in fear, anger, confusion. And the Lord wants us to lay hold again of who we are, the identity we have as sons and daughters of God, that we stand in him, that our past, present, and future belong to him, and that through this gift of the Holy Spirit, he empowers us not only to have a relationship with him from which we live that gives us security, identity, and the like, but also he's given us power to be conduits of his grace now, to be conduits of his mercy and his kindness. And one of the things people really do need, they don't even know it, what they need is the security of knowing Christ Jesus, that their future is in his hands. People need to come to the Lord to repent of their sins, to be baptized into him. Look for, pray for opportunities to share with people the love of Christ. And they need encouragement, but what they really need is to surrender and give their lives to Christ, to come and to receive the gift of salvation, the joy of salvation. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.